Now, I want to tonight, by way of review and yet add some things to it, I want us to look again and compare Israel and the church. If there's any one thing in the scriptures that Christians need to understand, it's the distinction between Israel and the church. And it's important for a lot of different reasons. And I want to use the blackboard here, and we'll write some of the things down just to do this comparison. Now, Israel and the church. Mixing these two things causes more confusion in people's minds. It confuses them in many different ways. But I want to mention some distinctions and different things that will help us. Some of the things we've already talked about and maybe some that we haven't. Israel, the primary word that has to do with Israel is that they're God's earthly people. All the promises to Israel are earthly promises. Everything concerning Israel, for instance, salvation. You read the word salvation in the Old Testament, and you know what it refers to? It doesn't refer to Jews going to heaven. Now, Jews who believed in Christ did go to heaven. Jews who walked by faith with God, the scripture tells us that they're in heaven. And when we sit down with Abraham, Isaac, it mentions some of those like that. When they died, they went to be with the Lord. But salvation, when the word is used in the Old Testament, has to do with victory over Israel's enemies. Always, you study it and read it, you watch it, you read it. It'll always refer to Israel's victory over her enemies here upon this earth. Now, you've got to tie Israel to the earth. Every time you study Israel, you've got to tie it to this world, to the earth, or you're going to misunderstand an awful lot of scripture. And so we can't take the promises that are given to Israel having to do with this earth and say, oh, I'll claim all them. See, and we'll talk about some of those specifically a little bit, but this is what people do, and it's how they get into trouble. They go through the Bible, they get one of these set of cards with all the wish, you know, the prayer cards or scripture cards. And they'll pull one out each day, and they'll read it, and then they'll whatever it is, it may have to something to do with Israel and have nothing at all to do with the church and this dispensation as with us today, and yet they'll try to spiritualize it and make it mean something to us today. Well, if it's written to Israel, it's written to Israel. Now, the spiritual application, we need to understand the difference. A spiritual application of the principle that's found in any of the promises, we can understand it. Where, in other words, God promises that He'll watch over His people. Well, certainly that means His people, whenever they are, He'll watch over His people. He'll guide His people, direct His people, that sort of thing. But whenever these promises refer to things having to do with the earth, like a lot of children, a lot of money, a lot of wealth, a lot of prosperity. That's Israel. That has nothing to do with the church. That's not the church's promises at all. Matter of fact, just the opposite. Church, you're going to have it rough. You're going to be crucified. You're going to be hated. You're going to be despised. You're going to be cast down. That's the church. See? Whereas Israel, as far as the world's concerned, prosperity. Israel has always been tied to this world and this world system and this world's money. That's the reason where you can go to any nation in the world and find the financial center, and you'll find the Hebrews involved with it. Because they just understand this world and the things of this world. It's all a part of their makeup and their nature. It has to do with the way God created them and their call and their purpose and what God's going to do with them. It has to do with this earth. Now, you've got to understand that. Now, of course, Jews today who are saved are members of the body of Christ, because today, during the church age, whenever a Jew comes to Christ, he's a member of the body of Christ, just like a Gentile who comes to Christ. And so today, there is no Jew distinction in Jew and Gentile. The middle wall of partition is broken down. Now, so salvation refers to the defeat of her earthly enemies, whereas salvation, as far as the church is concerned, always refers to a new birth, a new body, and all those great glorious promises that are going to be ours with Christ. Always. We don't have any promises of something in this world. God never promised you that you'd have a nice home. He never promised you you'd drive nice automobiles. He never promised you you'd have a nice health insurance policy to cover all your sicknesses and things like that. Now, you may have those things, and God is good, and God is merciful, and God is wonderful, and we have much more than we deserve, but it's not a part of our promise. It was there. That's the distinction and the difference we need to understand. Now, Israel, what about rewards? Well, Israel's rewards are all earthly and related to the land. Turn with me to 2 Samuel. I ran across this in my own devotional reading, and it says well what we're talking about here in this particular passage. 2 Samuel 22, and I'm beginning to read with verse 20. He brought me forth also into a large place. This is David's song of deliverance. It's the same as the 18th Psalm, by the way. Just about the same. He brought me forth also into a large place. He delivered me because he delighted in me. Now get this, verse 21. The Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness. According to the cleanness of my hands hath he recompensed me. For I have kept the ways of the Lord, and have not wickedly departed from my God. For all his judgments were before me, and as for his statutes, I did not depart from them. I was also upright before him, and have kept myself from mine iniquity. Therefore the Lord hath recompensed me according to my righteousness, according to my cleanness in his eyesight. Now, notice all of these, his righteousness, and all had to do with his walk in the law, and the keeping of the law, and the keeping of the commandments. And this is the way Israel's righteousness was marked. We'll find some other verses in just a moment that'll tie with that. Whereas rewards, as far as the church are concerned, are future. After this life, and they're based upon service for Christ. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, if we turn there, we'll see what the rewards are as far as the church is concerned. I want you to see this now. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 12. Now, if any man, well, verse 11 talks about the foundation, which is, of course, the Lord Jesus Christ. Then he says, now, if any man build upon the foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so is by fire. The church's works, or the believers' works, are going to be, after the rapture, they're going to be tried by fire before the judgment seat of Christ. Completely different as far as the rewards are concerned. Israel, rewards for the church. And then, as far as Israel is concerned, submission of all her earthly enemies is the grand goal and purpose that's going to eventually be completed. In this same passage in 2 Samuel 22, look at verse 41. David continues to talk here about this. In verse 40, he says, for thou hast girded me with strength to battle. Them that rose up against me hast thou subdued under me. Thou hast also given me the necks of mine enemies, that I might destroy them that hate me. They looked, but there was none to save, even unto the Lord, but he answered them not. Then did I beat them as small as the dust of the earth. I did stamp them as the mire of the street, and did spread them abroad. Thou also hast delivered me from the strivings of my people. Thou hast kept me to be head of the heathen. A people which I knew not shall serve me. Strangers shall submit themselves unto me. As soon as they hear, they shall be obedient unto me. David, looking forward, here's the promises that God had made and given, of course, through David and the throne, which will be eventually Christ's throne, through David. Now, the things having to do with Israel then, we see, are natural, whereas the things having to do with the church are spiritual. Now, there's another area that Israel was given a law, the commandments. And that's more than just the Ten Commandments. There are many, many commandments in Exodus and through that area that God gave to his people to guide them in every area of life, in social areas of their life, in the legal areas of their life, in the monetary areas of their life, in the family areas of their life, in every area of life. God gave them all these commandments, all these laws for them to walk by. Whereas the church, the key word, grace and truth, came by Christ Jesus, and the church is not under law, but under grace. And we do not have all these laws and commandments and things that we have to keep and that we're judged on the basis of. We walk by faith. See, dependent upon the finished work of Christ. We have imputed righteousness, Christ's righteousness imputed to us individually when we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And we are declared to be righteous. And we will always be righteous. And we will never be unrighteous. And we will never be judged for righteousness. For that all depended upon the Lord Jesus Christ and what he did for us on the cross. You see. So there's a great deal of difference here in Israel and the church, things that we need to remember. Under the law, they had to walk in obedience to the commandments. We walk by faith. As we saw in that passage in 2 Samuel, righteousness was based on their walk, whereas righteousness is imputed by faith without the deeds of the law, the scripture says very clearly and plainly for us. Now, there are some other areas that I want us to look at. They differ as to origin. God chose a man, Abraham. And from that man, Abraham, he built a nation. And he had a specific purpose for that nation, to show to the world God's power, his might, his glory, and to work through that nation, and he did, as long as that nation would let him, would look to him, and would trust him and walk with him, he showed great and mighty things. For instance, the whole experience of coming out of Egypt. Now, we were talking last week about the fact of them being in Egypt and the things they grew there to be a powerful nation, 2 million strong down in Egypt. I think one of the most important things about that stay in Egypt is the leaving of Egypt and the testimony that God made to the whole world of his blessing upon his people when he brought all of those plagues upon the Egyptians, and his own people were in Goshen, which is a portion of Egypt, and none of the plagues came upon them. In other words, they were protected from the plagues. And God protected them, and He showed His power then in taking the firstborn from all the families in Egypt. Firstborn, listen, that was much more devastating than just a make a statement. We can say it and say it, pass on past it, and don't think much about it. But it was a devastating thing to the whole land of Egypt. And it was such a powerful testimony, not only to Egypt, but to all the nations. The word went out to all the nations. And when Israel came marching through that wilderness, everybody trembled. Everybody was afraid. And constantly they were referred to that people whom God had blessed, and that people whom God had done great things for, and they were afraid of them. And then they defeated their enemies. God's purpose in Israel is still the same. God is going to show the world with His people Israel what He can do. He's not finished with it. God is going to show the world what He has said He's going to do, He's going to do. And He's going to judge the world. And when He sends Christ back to this earth, during that thousand-year reign, Israel's going to be the head of all nations. That's the word that you, head, headship, not the tail, but the head. That's what constantly is said in Scripture. And Christ, of course, is going to rule, and the ability, the great power and might and glory of God will be demonstrated, see, to all the nations of the world. And that's what Israel was started for. That's what God raised up Abraham for. And He raised him up on the basis of his testimony that he believed God. And of course, that's the same testimony that we are saved on, believing God. And it's counted to us for righteousness. So Abraham is the father of us all in that regard. Not just the Jew, but also the Gentile as far as the faith is concerned. So as far as origin is concerned, now the church has a completely different origin. It, first of all, is not prophesied. It's not a part of Old Testament prophecy. Church is not found in the Old Testament. That's one thing we need to understand, is the church is not found in the Old Testament. The church was a secret. It's called a mystery. The word is mystery, which means a secret that is only kept for a certain length of time. It's not something that's to be kept permanently as a secret, but it's kept secret until God is ready to reveal that secret. And so, after Christ was rejected, you see, the Jew rejected, and here's something we need to understand. The Jew rejected God the Father in the Old Testament. They rejected God the Father. They rejected God the Son when He came on the scene. The Messiah, the Savior, God sent. They rejected Him, officially rejected Him. Came unto His own received Him not. Now there were those who received Him and believed and were saved. But then, that's not the end of it. On the day of Pentecost, God sent the Holy Spirit. And the Jew rejected the Holy Spirit, speaking through their own children. Remember, whenever they called Jesus, they said He's got the devil in Him. He's speaking with the power of Beelzebub. He said, what are you going to say whenever your children speak in this manner? See? And the children did speak with the same power when the Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost. Jesus said on the cross, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. You see, they in ignorance crucified the Lord. Paul speaks of his own self in ignorance. He did. But you see, they didn't in ignorance reject the Holy Spirit. That's the unpardonable sin. You won't know what the unpardonable sin is that Jesus spoke about. It's rejecting the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Now, the Jew rejected the Father, they rejected the Son, and they rejected the Holy Spirit. And so They've been put aside. And God did something new that he hadn't prophesied. He hadn't foretold. He raised up the church, which is Christ's body. And the church has a different origin, and it has a different purpose. We've already spoken about what the purpose of Israel was, to show the glory of God and to bring forth his majesty. The purpose of the church is to be a part, administer the judgment, the rule on the earth to the nations of the world during the millennial reign of Christ. And what other reasons, purposes we have? But you see, we are Christ's body. This is a special calling. Jew and Gentile who believe on Christ, put into his body by the Holy Spirit. This is the baptism by the Spirit of God into the body of Christ. This is the baptism that saves. You don't talk about a baptism that saves. It's the baptism by the Holy Spirit into the body of Christ. Baptism of water doesn't save, but the baptism of the Spirit of God to put you into the body of Christ. If you haven't had that baptism, then you aren't saved, you see, because that's what makes you a member of his body, is when you believe on him and the Spirit of God puts you into the body of Christ. And so the purpose of the church is different from the purpose of Israel. The promises, we've already talked about them, but the promises for Israel have to do with the earth, and they have to do with their rule here on the earth, whereas the promises to the church are spiritual promises, blessing. For instance, today, when we say God has blessed me, blessed my house, blessed my home, we're not talking about that he's given me money. I got a good bank account, got a good retirement. That's not blessing in the New Testament sense of the word for the church. What spiritual blessings are is when your children obey the Lord. That's spiritual blessing. Whenever you've got peace in your home and you sit around the table and praise the Lord and pray to him and rejoice together around the word and read the word together and rejoice in it. That's the blessings of this age. You may be living in poverty. You may not have anything of this world's goods. You may be hated by the people of this world. And you may be considered the scum and offscouring of the earth. But if you have Christ, see, that's blessing. That's blessing. You see, what's happened today is we're trying to live like Israel. The church is trying to get established in the world. It's building huge buildings, huge budgets, huge staffs. Bring them in, philosophy of evangelism. Build the churches, got to have more money, got to build more buildings, got to have more things. That's Israel. That's not what the church ought to be doing. See, we're all messed up. That's what you call, and we talked about in our notes, that's what Scofield calls Judaizing the church. And that's the main cause, the reason the church has no power today. We're trying to have power, this kind of power. What do we want to do? Have influence with the legislature. Get the law changed. Go pass some laws. That's not what our job is. Go out and demonstrate against abortion. March the streets and walk against and get it changed in this earth. That's not the church's role. That's not the church's business. Our business is submission to the laws of the land. Submission. Read Romans 13. If you want to really find out, meekness is the key word of the believer. Meekness. The meek shall inherit, you see. It's a meek that submissive, not those who go out all this talk today on the radio of doing this and doing that and overthrowing this and overthrowing that and establishing this and establishing that. That's not the teachings and doctrines of the church and their walk. Our business is to honor and glorify the Lord Jesus Christ, try to win as many others to Christ as we possibly can, and get ready to leave here. Get ready to get out of here. This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. I got no interest in it. Got nothing I want to dig down to. The Lord will take care of me. Not trying to put a bankroll up. Not trying to put a lot of money on the side. The Lord's going to take care of me, provide for me. He's promised to do that and give me what I need. And God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. So you don't worry about money. Don't worry about those things. You give all that to the Lord and let him take care of that thing. You see, that's the reason the Bible doesn't teach tithing in the New Testament. It's not that there's a thing wrong with the tenth, because that's the Lord. But in the New Testament of the church, we're supposed to go far beyond the tenth. Okay? We're supposed to see how much we can give. You know, R.J. Letourneau gave 90%. And somebody says, if I had the 10% left over, I could live on that too. Yeah, but he gave 90% when he didn't have it. When he's a little man. See? He had the right idea. We're to give it to the Lord, and we see how much we can give. And use it. The wealth is to be used for glory down here. It's not what we're after. It's not what we're building for. See, we're taught wrong. We've been taught wrong. So, many, many years as far as the church is concerned. And it's really affected. Now, there's a difference in the destiny. And the rapture is the destiny of the church. We're going to be taken up, taken out of here. Israel's not going to be raptured. And then the last word is dealings. How did God deal with Israel? Signs, miracles, dreams, visions. That's how God dealt with Israel. See? How's God dealing today with the church? Silence. The heavens are silent. God has spoken in Christ, and he's not going to speak again. The next sound will be the sound of the trumpet. Not going to be any other sound. Not any miracles, not any signs. Just the sound of the trumpet. That's the next thing coming. What a difference in Israel and the church. And I just touched on some of these things. Now, let's wrap this up with this. Rightly dividing the word will keep you from doctrinal errors, especially in the era of eschatology, which is simply the doctrine of last things, of end times. If you understand these things and get them and live by them, say, let them get into your thinking. They got to get into your thinking so that you look at things. What was that first song we sang tonight? Did anybody catch that phrase I was talking about? Look at verse 2. Ye chosen seed of Israel's race. I'm not chosen seed of Israel's race. That fellow was a post-millennialist. Tell you that, he was a covenant fellow. That was written in the 1700s, and there weren't any, there was very little, if any. There may have been some that we don't know much about who were talking about the return of Christ, but that was, through those periods of times, it was strictly a post-millennial time in church history, or amillennial, one or the other, and one's as bad as the other. But we are not chosen seed of Israel's race. We are ransomed from the fall by Christ, but we're not part of Israel. You need to watch for that in Psalms. You need to catch those whenever you sing. Get alert, get awake to understand, you see, these things. You get a few of these principles in mind, and they work for you the same as they work for anybody else. You just have the Word, what the Word teaches. Now, so they'll keep you from doctrinal error. I'll tell you what else they'll do. It'll keep you from deception. This is the kind of thing that this will help you with. Keep you out of error. Keep you out of problems. Things of that nature. It'll give you the correct overall view of the plan and purpose of God. So
saved.
You'll understand God's plan and purpose from the beginning to the end and what it is that He is going to accomplish. For God will accomplish every purpose that He has determined. Okay? And we have to rightly divide the Word in order to understand the Word, to keep ourselves from error, you see. And that's why Paul said, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. This doesn't come with just casual reading. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth.